Okay, Rabosai, I can't tell you how much joy. I can't tell you how much joy. So forget about it. Even if you learn absolutely nothing, you should know that you did a big mitzvah by coming back to your yeshiva and reconnecting with your old rebbes. It gives us a tremendous, tremendous simcha, tremendous joy to see each one of you coming back this year. Which one? Yeah, right here, right here. Here we go. Yitzchak Shmuel. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay. It gives hey, how you doing? Great to see you, Zimbo. It gives such incredible joy for the Rebbes to see the Talmidim come back, especially preparing for the Yontif of Pesach, the night of Chinuch. Pesach, the night of Pesach is all about the night of Chinuch. It's the night of the night we became a people, and it's the night that the Torah and Chazal, Vigadta Levincha. Chazal say, Banim Eilu Talmidimon, Vishinantam Levanecha. But it's the same idea, Vigadta Levincha. So we teach over our kids, rabbis teach children. Seder night is all about transmitting the Mesorah. So it's amazing to be able to reconnect with each one of you in advance of Seder night. Many of you have heard many, many different kinds of ideas from me over the years. Today's shiur, I'm going to speak in a little bit of a different mahalach, the way that I usually speak. But if Pesach night is a night of emuna, transmitting faith, transmitting emuna, there is one interesting aspect of the Jewish faith, of emuna. Doesn't get spoken about that much, but I want to speak about it a little bit. Today, thinking about it, and through this overall theme, through this overall prisma, this overall perspective, outlook on Yiddishkeit, on faith, on emuna, to try to address some of the well-known themes of the Seder, maybe in a little bit of a different way. What I want to share with you, and I'll credit a little bit to my wife. My wife and I, actually, this is very unusual for us. We don't usually see each other or speak to each other that much, but we certainly don't get a chance to learn together. That we don't really do. But this, you know, my wife also teaches Torah, as many of you know. She gave a shiur last night to the women. I knew I was going to give a shiur today, some of our alumni. So we did this sort of together, and we want to talk about the five contradictions of the Seder, the five stiras of the Seder. Not just the five stiras of the Seder, but the five, and there's more than five, but we're going to just learn five of them. The five contradictions, some of them even that have to do with emuna, that have to do with Jewish faith. Because a lot of times, part of being a Jew is being able to tolerate contradictory emotions and contradictory thoughts and feelings at the same time. Same time. Now, full disclosure, where did the idea about this come up to speak about? So there's a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He also happened to have been in my shiur in NCSY Kollel in 1995, my first year there, 27 years ago. His name is Rabbi Netanel Wiederblank. You may have heard of him. He's a Rosh Yeshiva at YU. He's a brilliant Talmud Chacham, a quiet, humble person. You'd never know that he's a big Talmud Chacham when I'm talking to him. He wrote recently these two big, fat, thick svarim on the Hashkafas of Yiddishkeit in English. Illuminating Jewish Thought. Two big, thick volumes. He was a little kid, high school kid from Silver Spring in my shiur and kol in 1995. I knew he was a night bright kid. I saw he would be like a gadol bator. I don't know if I would saw it already then, but he was always very, very good. And he recently wrote an article, just came out recently in Jewish Action. He was writing about artificial intelligence. That's the, you guys have been there, so you have the big hack in the last few weeks, months in America. It's been about AI, ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, and if you're holding in the Inyanim. But basically, he wanted to taina. He gives there like seven different differences between human beings and artificial intelligence. So he writes there that one of the big differences between human beings and artificial intelligence is that AI cannot tolerate things that are contradictory with each other. It's a computer, so if it doesn't fit in, it doesn't fit in. But human beings, we're unique in the fact that we could actually tolerate contradictory thoughts, feelings, and emotions at the same time. And part of being a believing Jew is to have to assimilate and have to believe in and live with contradictions at all times. And part of giving over emunah is that as well. So, of course, man by his very definition is a contradiction. Man by his very definition is always pulled in two contradictory directions, always. We are physical bodies, and the physical body has a natural desire to take care of its physical body. It likes to eat. It likes to do all kinds of other things to take care of its physical body. And man also has a neshama that's always deep inside, pulling him into spiritual matters, pulling him to engage in spiritual matters. The Netziv, I have it here on the sheet here, the Netziv writes in Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavav that the word Adam, man, comes related to the word Adame Domele Elyon. We have a neshama, like a Kodesh Baruch, we have a Tzelem Elokim. We're striving to be like Hashem. Baruch Hashem, I think all of you, if you're actually sitting at this year today, then that tells me that for the last year, all of you have been nurturing and finding and discovering and developing that neshama tahora that each of you had. And my bracha to you is only that your entire lives, you should realize that you have a neshama. You should constantly, in different ways and methods, we'll talk throughout this year, but your entire lives, you should look to sustain that neshama, to realize that you have that. You're not just a goof. On the outside, we look like we're only goof. We can't see the neshama, but we believe. Adam is Adame and Adama. Adama is the physical part of Adam, says the Netziv, and Adame is Domel Elyon. The word Adam itself is already a contradiction. So to be an Adam, to be a Jew, is to recognize that you have contradictions. Rav Schwab, in his commentary to the Siddur, takes us even further, also connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we know the Medrash says that Hashem got angry at the angels. Hashem got angry at the Malachim, that they were singing Shira as the Egyptians were drowning. Masa Yovai Tavu Bayam Vatem Omrim Shira, the Medrash says, my creations are drowning in the ocean, and you guys are saying Shira. So I asked Rav Schwab, and how come Klal Yisrael, when we sang Oz Yasher, we don't find the Kodesh Baruch Hu getting angry at Klal Yisrael for singing Oz Yasher? The Malachim sang Shira, the Medrash says God got angry. But Klal Yisrael sang Shira, you don't find the Chumash saying, how dare you be? Says Rav Schwab, angels can only do, they're like AI in this prat, in this detail. Angels are like artificial intelligence. They can only do one thing and think one thing at the same time. They can't have two contradictory emotions at the same time. So the angel was singing Shira. They were singing Shira. That's all they were doing. There was no sense of remorse and sadness over the fact that human beings never had to be destroyed. But Klal Yisrael, when they sang Shira, Klal Yisrael's Rachman and Baishanim Gomel Chasadim, even though they were singing Shira, there was a little piece of them that, you know, we take a little bit of wine out of the cup on Pesach night. We take a little, right? So we say, Dom, Tzvardeya. We take a little bit of wine out, according to some. It's a reference to the fact that we're a little bit upset. We don't want to enjoy the full cup of wine because we're a little upset that the Egyptians were killed also. They killed us. They tortured us. They enslaved us inappropriately. But yet we're still upset when human beings. So human beings, Rav Schwab says, that's why we didn't get yelled at, because even when we sang Oz Yashir, we still had a little bit of Rachmanis for the Egyptians. But the Malachim, when they sang, they're only Amalach's not capable of having both feelings at the same time. But let's get, so therefore, being a human being and being a Jew means living sometimes with contradictory emotions. I heard Rav Moshe Weinberger says a lot of times, he says, a Jewish heart has to be able to have to have pain on one side of it and joy on the other side of it at the same time. When we had a Hachnasah Sefer Torah for my father passed away, we did Hachnasah Sefer Torah, so you're rejoicing Hachnasah Sefer Torah, but you're feeling the pain of your father lost. In my family, there's no David Tzvi's. I have Baruch Hashem many grandchildren, grandsons were born. None of them are named David Tzvi because my father-in-law, he should live and be well till 120. His name is David. So there's a minhag that you don't name for a departed person David, but my brother has grandchildren named David Tzvi. My sister has grandchildren David Tzvi. So when David Tzvi was named, so you're excited that the name is continuing, but you're also upset at the same time that I'm missing my father. So a Jewish heart has to be able to have pain and joy at the same time. So what are the five steers at the Seder? What are the five steers at the Seder? So the one obvious one, the most obvious contradictory emotions. We'll start with an Abar Brunel. Famous Abar Brunel, you've probably, some of you have heard this Abar Brunel from me before. It's one of the most famous varts on the whole Seder that Abar Brunel says, why are the Dafka four questions? How is Avodim Hayinu an answer to the four questions? How is Avodim Hayinu an answer to the four questions? Why there are only four? You could have asked a lot of things. What about the four cups of wine? There's not in the Dalet Kosos. There's not in the Manishtan. There's a lot of questions that are not in the Manishtan. So why these four questions? And how is Avodim Hayinu an answer? Says that Abar Brunel very famously. The kid is actually only asking one question. The kid is asking only one question. It's not four questions. One question. The kid is so confused. He sees maror, he sees matzah, he sees salt water, he sees charoses, commemorating the mortar and the bricks and the hard work and the hard labor. The kid is confused. He says to his parents, I don't get it. Are we celebrating tonight avdus? Or he also sees we're reclining, we're dipping like free people. We say, kol dichven yesei v'yechol. So the kid is confused. He's asking one question. He says, I have two eidim that tonight is about avdus, and I have two eidim that tonight's about cheirus. There's matzah and maror is avdus, and dipping and reclining is cheirus. So I have two eidim here and two eidim there. I'm confused. Is tonight about avdus or is tonight about cheirus? Manishtana, Allah is a mikolas, one kasha. Manishtana. How different tonight is. I'm so confused. What are we commemorating? What do we answer the kid? Avadim ayinu l'parav mitzrayim. We were slaves. Vayotzienu Hashem mitzrayim. So we're commemorating both. We're commemorating Avdus and we're commemorating Cheirus. You have to commemorate both. Why do you have to commemorate both? Because if you really want to experience Jewish history, you have to experience it. We only have Cheirus. We never really had Avdus. We were never in jail. We were never locked away. So we have to try to re-experience and realize that there were times in our history that there was painful times in our history. Only once we appreciate the painful times can we appreciate the joyous times. This is why a lot of times you have in Yadus, the joy and the pain is mixed in, right? You have Tanis Esther right before Purim. In Israel, you have Yom HaZikaron right before Yom HaTzmaut, because they want you to remember before you celebrate the fact that Hashem gave us a state. So you have to also appreciate the people who died to give away the state. Zelu Mazet, if you appreciate, that's why the whole Haggadah starts with Halach Manya. Halach Manya, the whole Haggadah starts with Halach Manya. Halach Manya has three parts. This is the bread of affliction. Kol Dichvin Yesiv Yechol. And even after that, even while we're celebrating the Cheirus, we realize we're not fully free yet. We're going to come back to that theme a number of times in this shir. Hashata Hachol L'Shon Abba Barisol, Hashata Avdi L'Shon Abba B'nei Chorin. That, the reason why Halach Manya is the beginning of the whole Seder is because that's encapsulates the whole theme of the night. There are three themes of Seder night, three themes. Avdus, Cheirus, and even in the Cheirus, we're davening for Mashiach that we should get the full Cheirus. That's also, we'll get to that at the end of the Shir. But the point is, a Jew at the Seder night is actually feeling both, because in order to feel the Cheirus, you have to feel the Avdus. And a lot of times, at different times in our lives, we feel more, a little bit more Avdus, and we feel more Cheirus. We feel difficulty and challenge, and we feel excitement when terrible terror attacks strike. Well, we'll get to that maybe a little bit more in a minute. The second contradiction of the Seder night is that one of the most important themes of the Seder night, as you all know, the Seder is filled with questions. Questions. Yiddishkeit is filled with questions. You guys have been involved, Baruch Hashem, for a year in Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah is all about asking questions. Frek the Rashi, Frek Tosis, Frek the Ritva, Frek the Rashba. Everybody's asking Akasha. Everybody's asking. Yiddishkeit is all about asking. The whole Seder night is all about Derech She'elu Tshuva. Asking questions comes up at the Seder, the whole Seder long. The Rambam even writes, if a person's having Seder alone, he's got to ask himself the questions. What is he asking himself questions? Let him just tell the story. Let him just say it. What's with questions, 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 questions? Why are questions so important to Yiddishkeit? Let's count how many times in the Seder you have questions. You have the four questions. You have the four sons. Each one's asking questions. The Manishtan is questions. The four sons are questions. Pesach Matzo Mar Al Shum Ma? Al Shum? Shalom Hispik B'Tekim Shalom Seder. What's it for? It's for this. Echad miyodeh, who knows what? What are you asking questions? Just say, one is this, and two is this, and three is that. Who knows what? Who knows three? What are we asking a million questions for? Derech She'elu Tshuva, the Gemara says. Everything has to be Derech She'elu Tshuva. Yiddishkeit believes very deeply in asking questions. Very deeply. What's the whole idea? So you've probably heard this idea from me many times. But the whole point of questioning this, what do we say about the Seder night? The Seder night, we're trying to instill in ourselves and in the children the midah of a desire to want to know knowledge, a desire to want to know. When we ask questions, because we're stimulating within ourselves, I want to know Hashem. I want to get closer. I want to know His Torah. I want to know what He's about. I want to understand. In Yiddishkeit, we love to ask questions. The whole Talmud Torah is all about questions. But gentlemen, what do I mean? What's the contradiction? Rabbi Sachs, we're going to hear a little bit from the chief rabbi, the former chief rabbi, Olav HaShalom, Zichron Levracha. Rabbi Sachs writes that a Jew has to know when he asks questions, there are three caveats that Rabbi Sachs says about asking questions. It's great to ask questions, but only with three caveats. One question is that when a Jew asks questions, he has to know that sometimes a Jew is going to ask a question and there's going to be no answer to the question. Sometimes you have to live with the question, like the Gemara says, teku. A Jew has to know that sometimes he's going to ask questions and he might not know the answer today. He might get the answer in another hour or in another day or another week or another month or another year or maybe at the end of his life or maybe never until Mashiach comes. So says Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. When a Jew asks questions, there's three caveats. Number one, some questions don't have good answers because Hashem is Hashem and we're human beings. So when Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaShofet Kol Haaretz Lo Yaseh Mishpat, when he was going to kill stone, the master of the universe won't do justice? Avram Avinu asked. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Hariyosa Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh Shlachtani. What are you doing here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He opened up a mouth of chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Lama Derech, why is the path of the wicked? Why is there tzaddik v'ralo and rasha v'tovlo? Why did some tzaddikim have things good and why did some wicked people have bad? Says Rabbi Sachs, we should ask a million questions, but sometimes you have to live with the contradiction of knowing that not every question has a good answer. Not every question has a good answer. That's one caveat. The second caveat is that you have to ask wanting to know the answer. Not like the rasha who asks. He's not asking because he really wants to know the answer. He's just asking to make fun. These first two caveats are related. They're related. But you can't ask just to, oh, this makes no sense. Oh, look at this, makes no sense. You have to ask sincerely, and not like the Rosh who's not asking because he wants to know the answer. As a matter of fact, Rav Huttner writes, it's interesting that two out of the four sons get the same answer. Who are the two out of the four sons that get the same answer? The Rosha and the Ein Yodei Lishol get the same answer. What? What's the answer? Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tzeisi Mimitzrayim. That's the answer to the Ein Yodei Lishol. That's the answer to the Ben Rasha, says Rav Huttner. Why do the Rasha and the Ein Yodei Lishol get the same answer? Because neither of them are really asking a question. The Ein Yodei Lishol is really not asking a question. He's Ein Yodei Lishol, does not ask questions. And the Rasha is also not asking a question because he's not interested in the answer. He's asking Lahaknit. He's asking just to instigate, just to make trouble. He's not really interested in the answer. He didn't ask L'Shem Shemayim. He's asking, this is not for me. I'm not part of this. He didn't want to really answer. So people don't really want answers. We just give them the standard storyline. You got it to Levincha B'yom Olim B'Azeh Shem Yibzer. The Chacham, you got to ask him according to. And the Tom, he's sincere. He's simple, but he's sincere. So you got to explain to him according to their level. But the Russians and the Elishal Rav Witnesses get the same answer because they're not really asking a question. So asking questions the Seder night is important. Teaching kids to ask questions is important. But sometimes a Jew has to know. You have to be able to live with the contradiction that I have a question that I have no answer to. ChatGPT doesn't like that. The AI doesn't like it. You can't have a question that has no answer. It's It's got to have everything. Every formula has a, you know, every formula has an answer, has a resolution. But for us, sometimes, like the Rav Soloveitchik famously said, that when a tragedy happens, which we don't understand, we don't say lama. We can't ask Hashem lama why. We have to say lama. What do I get out of it? The third caveat Rabbi Sachs says about asking questions is that sometimes the answer is not an answer, it's an action. Like a guy will ask, I don't understand, why do we keep Shabbos? Try to explain to a non-from person, I don't understand, you can explain to him, but like the beauty of Shabbos, you can't really understand until you actually celebrate. It's like an acquired taste. I always say that anyone who likes beer, it's a raya brewer to peer pressure. It's a raya brewer to peer pressure. There's nobody who enjoyed the taste of beer the first time they tasted it. Nobody. It tastes like vomit. There's no way a person's going to enjoy the taste of beer. It's an acquired taste. You have to acquire a taste. It's an acquired taste. Everyone says, oh, romaine lettuce? That's maror. Tastes great. Who doesn't have salad? I'm a big salad guy. I'm a very big salad guy. I have salad every single day for lunch. The same thing for the last 3 years. Every single day, the same thing. I'm a big salad guy. Romaine lettuce is maror. Give romaine lettuce to a two-year-old. Give it to a two-year-old. You see, give him lettuce. He'll spit it out. Every two-year-old in the world, give him a little lettuce. Lettuce. It's bitter. But we're used to it. We acquired a taste for it. Music. You have to acquire a taste for music. You have different... this is a beautiful piece of music. What? Beethoven, Bach, what? This is a beautiful piece of music. Play me some, I don't know what you guys listen to, but whatever. Play me some of that stuff. You know, it's an acquired taste. There's an acquired taste. You can acquire a taste of music. So Rabbi Sachs's third caveat of asking questions is sometimes the answer to the question is not an answer. It's you have to live it. Nasa v'nishma, Klal Yisrael said. Sometimes you have to jump in first. What's the third? What's the third contradiction? The third contradiction of the Seder night is in Dayenu. What's the third contradiction of the Seder night? The third contradiction of the Seder night is Dayenu. Really? Had Hashem just taken us out of Egypt and left us in the desert? Dayenu. Had Hashem brought us in front of Har Sinai and not given us the Torah? Dayenu. Really? Really? That would have been enough for us? We never get to Eretz Yisrael. We never got the Torah. Never got the man. We'd just be left to starve there in the desert. Would be Dayenu. That would be enough. What's going on with Dayenu? So apparently, I think this is really my wife's Chiddush. Again, I'm going to give some color to it. What's Pshat in Dayenu? Dayenu is a very important contradiction that a Jew has to always live with. On the one hand, appreciating the situation that you are currently in, fully appreciating what I have, fully appreciating Hashem's gifts that I have to this point, fully appreciating the level of ruchnius that I have achieved in my life thus far, fully appreciating it, but at the same time always wanting more. It's not a contradiction. It is a contradiction. But in Yiddishkeit, it's not a contradiction. To be fully appreciative. Dayenu. I say Dayenu on each step of my life, everything I have in my life, every step that I took in my life, I say Dayenu Hashem. I appreciate A, I appreciate B, I appreciate C, I appreciate D, E, F, G. Even though I still want more. Rabbi Balzam Shlita once spoke at a DRS senior dinner, long time ago. And he quoted from somebody, and neither of us, neither me nor him, remember who said this pshat. Somebody could look it up for extra credit. We'll give you the extra credit. Famous Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, teaches us, Ezehu Ashir Asameach B'chelka. Who's a rich person? Who's Sameach with his chelak? Right, Bolson was quoting from somebody, and I subsequently looked it up. I just didn't have time before this to really find it. But he says, you know, we tend to think this idea of being Sameach B'chelka only applies to gashmius, to physical things. Ezu ashira sameach b'chelko. Like if Hashem gave you this amount of gashmius, you have this clothing, this house, this car, this amount of money, you should be happy with the amount of gashmius that you had. A Bolzman quoted from somebody who said, the same thing applies in ruchnius also. Ezu ashira sameach b'chelko. Sameach b'chelko and ruchnius? What do you mean? Aren't you always supposed to want to achieve more? You also want to achieve more? So he explained something very, very deep, which is a little bit counterintuitive at first glance. In order for a person to really grow in his Yiddishkeit, you have to be Sameach Bechalko at the Madriga that you currently have. Every pasuk that you're zocheh to learn, every Shmona Esrei that you have that's a good Shmona Esrei, you should rejoice in that. You should rejoice in where you are, in the Madriga that you've gotten. Everybody wants to be Rav Moshe Feinstein by tomorrow and sleep tonight in the middle also. Everybody wants to be the biggest Gadol BaTorah who ever lived. Everybody wants to grow tremendously. The only way you're going to get there is to consolidate that which you already know and to appreciate and be besimcha over the learning you already achieved. You can't come back from Yisrael and say, oh man, like I wish I could have been like this guy in the yeshiva. I wish I could have been like this guy. I wish I could have been like that guy. That's not going to get, that's just going to cause frustration, and it's going to cause, you're going to be forever just lunging and trying to be somebody who you're not and longing to be something that you're not. Each of us has spent time learning. Each of us has spent time growing. Ezu Ashir Asamech Bechelko. Dayenu. Dayenu. That I sat and learned this good Seder, that I sat and learned this Sefer, that I sat and learned these Psukim, that I learned this. Dayenu. I'm happy with the learning that I've already had. Memela, once I'm really appreciated and happy with the Madriga that I have, and I'm not always looking, oh, what's next? Once I'm happy, then that'll naturally, organically, and in a healthy way, bring me to the next level also. That'll bring me to the next level. Once I appreciate, not like always running. When's the next? Ezu Ashir HaSamech Mechelko is in Ruchnius also. Ezu Ashir HaSamech, be Samech Mechelko. Appreciate the Madriga that you've gotten in Yiddishkeit. When you appreciate that Madriga that you got, then once you appreciate and fully are besimcha over it, then you're supposed to long for more. I once heard from Ravan Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, a beautiful vart on a Rashi in Chumash. You all know that in Parshas Maaseh, the Torah says, and they traveled from here and they camped over here, and they traveled from here and they camped over here, and they traveled from here and they camped over here, and they traveled and they camped over here 52 times, 52 masos. And the obvious kasha is, why in the world does the Torah have to go through every single step, every place they camped on the way there to Yisrael? So Rashi quotes two pshatim. One of the Rashi is like, it's like a father and a son went on a journey and they're recapping. Oh, remember what we did over here? That's what Rashi says. Said Rav Aaron, when you go to Yankee Stadium for a Yankee game, nobody cares how you got there. Nobody cares, oh, did you go this direction? Oh, did you make a left on this street and you made a right on this street? They all care. Did you get to the game or did you not get to the game? Did you see the first pitch? Did you see the first inning? Did you see the game? Did you get there or not? How you got there makes no difference. However, said Rav Aaron, in every spiritual journey, every step along the way has significance. In every spiritual journey, every step is significant. Every step has validity. Dayenu. The Haggadah is teaching us that Klal Yisrael's journey from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael was a spiritual journey. Like Rav Aaron said, those 52 journeys, every journey was growing, learning, becoming Am Yisrael, going towards Eretz Yisrael. It was a spiritual journey. In spiritual journeys, every step is chashuv. It's not the end goal. Life is about constantly striving for more. Constantly, but never to the degree that it's supposed to make you depressed and say, how come I didn't get there yet? Every step. Consolidate, appreciate, dayenu. Ezu Ashir Sameach Bechelko. Mitzvah Goreris Mitzvah. The higher Madriga you get on, that makes you in a higher Madriga to appreciate and then to want more. And then to want more. And then to grow on and grow more. Slowly. Real growth happens slowly. You know why the Torah says a man is compared to a tree? Ki ha'adam eitz hasada. Man's compared to a tree. So one of the Mefarshim says, I forgot already who. Another one says, why is a man compared to a tree? You look at a tree, you look at it tomorrow, you look at it in 2 days, in a week, in a month. Did the tree grow at all? I don't know. It looks pretty much the same like it looked today or like yesterday. It grew. You just didn't see it. Ki ha'adam eitz hasada. You don't see. You're not supposed to check every day. Oh, let's see. Did I grow today? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Mitzvah gerers mitzvah. I would urge everybody here who just spent time learning in Eretz Yisrael to be Ezu Ashir HaSamech Bechelko. Let's consolidate. Let's appreciate. Let's not be down over the fact that I didn't achieve this. I didn't accomplish this. What did I accomplish? Look at what I did accomplish. And be besimcha and excited about that. And that will naturally cause a person to want to continue to grow. So that's the third contradiction. Dayenu. Dayenu, it's enough, but we want more. It's enough. We have a karsa tov for that which we have, but we also want more. We also want to grow more. We also, Klai Yisrael wants more. The fourth contradiction of the Seder is exactly that word, Seder. This is the way this fourth contradiction plays out in the Kamenetsky house. Baruch Hashem, Seder, many grandchildren, children and grandchildren, everybody wants to say their Devar Torah, everybody wants to say their thing, want to say. The rabbis in Bnei Brak stayed up all night. They stayed up all night. But you have to eat Afikoman by Chatzos. What do you do? We want to really... Seder. What does the word Seder mean? Seder means order. It means if you say Shema 2 minutes before the Zman Kriya Shema, you get Olam Haba. If you say Shema 2 minutes after Zman Kriya Shema, you get nothing. You do a Malacha 2 minutes before Shabbos, it's great. You do a Malacha 2 minutes after Shabbos, it's curry, skila. What does Hashem care about 2 minutes early or 2 minutes late? Seder. Seder. Yiddishkeit has a Seder, has an order. Diktuk b'mitzvahs, diktuk b'alacha requires a Seder. But there's also the spirit of the law. There's also, what do you mean? We want to celebrate the spirit of the law. So the Seder is a little bit of a tension. The rabbis in Bnei Brak stayed up all night. But Mistama, they ate the Afikoman by Chatzos. But they stayed up all night. They had to take a break from telling the story to eat the Afikoman, and then they continued. So another contradiction that a Jew has to always negotiate is the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. The one story that I like to tell to illustrate this idea. Someone once told me the following story. Some of you know that I spend a lot of time involved in NCSY as a kid, well, many years ago. Now I'm a little less, but NCSY Kolo I'm still involved in. But in NCSY, a lot of times you have kids who are non-observant, and they're becoming more observant. So it was a kid in elementary school. He's in NCSY, and his parents were totally not observant. Not only his parents not observant, they were anti him being observant at all. But I don't know, he managed to find his way to NCSY. He got excited about it. The Yiddish guy started growing. And he first kept, he says, I'm going to keep kosher in the house. Probably only ate salad. He was in public school, and he was 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. His parents were very against it. He told his parents he wants to go to Yeshiva High School. His parents said, no way, and we're not saying, we're not paying it. You go, public school is free, Yeshiva High School is a lot of money. We're not paying it. We're not saying to Yeshiva High School, please, 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 no, you're going to public school. Comes the end of 8th grade, end of elementary school, and his grandparents are having a 50th anniversary celebration, and it's on Shabbos, and the kid had started to keep Shabbos at home, and the parents said to the kid, you have to come with us to the grandparents' party. It's on Shabbos. It's out of town. You're going to come with us in the car. The kid says, I'm not going. I'm not going to violate the Shabbos. The parents say, what do you mean? It's your grandparents. I'm not going. The parents see he's not moving. So the parents say to him, if you agree to come with us to the 50th anniversary celebration, we'll agree to send you to Yeshiva High School. And this Shiloh came to Rav Soloveitchik. Are you allowed to tell the kid to be Mechala one Shabbos so you should be able to go to Yeshiva High School? So what do you think Rav Soloveitchik said? Alcoa presents, you make the call. That's why the Shiloh came to Rav Soloveitchik and not you and me. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you can't tell the kid to be Mechal Shabbos. Can't tell the kid to be Mechal Shabbos. What's the end of the story? The kid did not go to the party. Wasn't Mechal Shabbos. Did not go to Yeshiva High School. But then after Yeshiva High School, he went to Eretz Yisrael on his own, raised money, became frum. He's a frum person. You can't tell the kid to be Mechal Shabbos. So sometimes there's tension in Yiddishkeit between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So that's why halacha, we have something called halacha. Halacha means it's a path. There's some room. Sometimes there's room. You got to know. You got to be a big person to know how to negotiate the letter of the law, spirit of the law. Sometimes there's contradictions. The letter of the law says, keep Shabbos. The spirit of the law says, what do you mean? Let the kid go to Yeshiva High School. So The Seder, we want the Seder to go all night, but you got to eat the Afikom by Chatzos. There's Seder in Yiddishkeit. So a lot of times, sometimes there'll be a contradiction between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. That's the fourth contradiction. And we'll get to the fifth and final contradiction. The fifth and final contradiction is one of my favorite all-time ideas. Rabbi Sacks has this in his Haggadah, one of his essays. You may have heard this idea. But the fifth contradiction of the Seder night is, at the same time that we're celebrating Geula, we realize that we're not fully redeemed yet. So we're celebrating Geula, but we're not really fully redeemed yet. Our Simcha is limited because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Mashiach. That's the whole end of the Seder. Nirtza is all about that theme. That's why in Halach Manu we have three themes. Avdus, Cheirus, and Hashat HaHocha L'Shana Babar Yisrael. We're not. Those are the three themes of the Seder. Avdus, Cheirus, and even within the Cheirus, we realize we're not fully free yet. But that's a contradiction that a Jew has to live with all the time. Appreciating the fact that we're free, we have Cheirus, we were freed from Egypt, but it's not fully free yet because we still have, we're still looking for Mashiach. And one of the beautiful ideas that I think that can highlight this idea, well, first of all, before we get to Rabbi Sacks's 4 fours and 5 fives, we'll get to Rabbi Sacks's 4 fours and 5 fives in a moment. But if you look at the very last page here, this is the Torah Tamima writes, on Votseisi, V'itzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti, the four Lashonos of Geula, the last source here, he writes that even in Mitzrayim, there were four stages to Geula. Geula doesn't always happen all at the same time. In Mitzrayim, there were four stages. He writes, just to summarize, he writes, Votseisi, K'neged Arba Geulos, he says, that's why the Yerushalmi says that the four cups are not connected for Lashonos of Geula. There were actually four Geulos, the Torah Tamima says. And he says, Votseisi means the hard labor stopped. Sheyokalayim avodasa. But it doesn't mean that they were totally free yet. V'itzalti me'avodasa means all the work stopped. Not only the hard labor stopped, they didn't work at all. But even after that, they were still slaves to Paro. They were still servants, he just wasn't working them. Then it said Vigaalti. Vigaalti meant he no longer had any shlit of them. And nevertheless, even when he finally took them away from Paro, they still weren't acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I was alone, V'lakachti yischem lila'am. V'yisnechem lilakim. So even the Geula of Mitzrayim had four stages. Take a look at the Ramban on top. This is the Ramban introduction to Shmos. He's talking about why Shmos is called the Sefer Geula. He says, HaGolos einenu nishlam an yom shuvam el makomam vel malas avosim yishuv to Eretz Yisrael. We're in Golos. Even when we got out of Egypt, we're still in Golos. What do you mean? It's a contradiction. First, he says that they're not considered to be the Gula until you got to Eretz Yisrael, but then he says when we got to Har Sinai, it's a Gula. So again, maybe the pshat is that there's stages. There was first Yitzhak Yisrael, then there was Matan Torah, then there's Eretz Yisrael. That's why many people feel like the celebration of establishment of the state of Israel, we shouldn't celebrate it. Some people feel you shouldn't celebrate it because it was celebrated by non-religious, non-observant people, and it didn't really. So, but others say no. The Geula happens in stages. The Geula happens in stages. First, you need a country. First, you need a government. Then there should be a growth in Torah, and then there should be spreading more Torah. So that's why Geula comes in stages. And that's why at the Seder we have to live with the contradiction of even though we're celebrating part of the Geula, and we're happy about that, but we're still yearning for the future. That's the whole nirtza. The end say, Adirhu yivne beisu b'karov. We're staving at the end of the Seder. And we'll just close with Rabbi Jonathan Sacks' 4 fours and 5 fives, which illustrates very, very beautifully this theme of the Seder night. The Vilna Gaon already points out that the number four plays a very, very major role in the Seder. The Vilna Gaon says the number four plays a major role. There are four Lashonos of Geula, Votseisi, Vitzat, V'gati, V'lakachti. There are four cups of wine. There are four questions, and there are four sons. The Vilna Gaon says the number four plays a very important role. But Rabbi Sacks points out there's actually a fifth four. There is a fifth four in the Haggadah. What's the fifth four? the four psukim by Arami Ovid Avi. There's four psukim by Arami Ovid Avi. The whole main part of the Seder is also four. There's four psukim. Arami Ovid Avi Vayir and Sam Vayagasham Sin Vayisham Lagagadol Samarav. That's basically a summary of Pasha Shmos. Vayareo Sanam Ritzamayanun Vitlin of Dakotasha, Kosha, that's the second psukim of Gisavo. That's a summary of Pasha's Vayir. Vanitzak al Hashem, more or less. Vanitzak al Hashem, okay, Vayishma Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, that's a summary of Parshas Bo. Vayotzienu Hashem, Yitzayim, Biyad Chazaka, Vizayon Atuya. So said Rabbi Sacks, it's really a fifth four in the Haggadah, four psukim. But then he says, if you look a little bit more closely at these five fours are really not five fours. They're really five fives. They're not five fours, they're really five fives. What do you mean they're really five fives? If you take a look at each of these fours has a fifth. Let's start with the last thing we said. The four psukim Pashas Kisavo, right? What's the fifth pasuk? There's four psukim Pashas Kisavo, but there's a fifth pasuk. What's again? Arami Vanisak Vayotzienu, right? Then it's, someone give me a chumash? A quick chumash somewhere? Is there a chumash? Chumash around somewhere? No? Anyway, you'll take my word for it. There's a fifth T4. That's very funny. T4, there's a chumash. No? No chumash? Anyway, if you look inside Pashas Kisavo, guys, after the fourth four, the Rabbi Sack said there was a fifth four. There's actually a fifth five. Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Janikowski. Thank you very much. Take a look. In Pashas Kisavo, here we go. We have a chumash. So, only four of the psukim made it into the Haggadah. Only four of them made it into the Haggadah. Listen carefully. It's amazing. It's Rabbi Sacks' part. A little piece of it. He cheats a little bit, but we'll get there in a minute. But take a look at the... So here's the pasuk. Listen. So the farmer comes, he brings his bikurim, and he says, four psukim, which summarize the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why this is the major part of the Haggadah. This is the main part of Magid. This is the main part. What does it say? Arami over by Garsham, he is some Gargado. By Ereos, Vanitzak, Lashon, Kavasin, by Yotzin, Hashem, Yim Time. Then there's a fifth pasuk which is left out. It's not in the Haggadah. What's the fifth pasuk? Vayivieno, Lamakomaza, Vayitilanos, Artazos, Eros of Askalam, Vudavash. And he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Why is that left out of the Haggadah? Why is that left out of the Haggadah? Because we're not there yet. If you look in the Mishnayos, guys, there's a fifth question which we don't have in the Haggadah. What's the fifth question? Karban Pesach. How come all other nights we eat cooked meat and we eat roasted meat? Tonight only roasted. We don't eat it. But Bizman Beis HaMikdash, we're going to say the fifth kasha. Karban Pesach. The fourth cup of wine. Four cups of wine. There's also a fifth cup of wine. That's the Koshel. Elio Anavi. When Elio Anavi comes, the fifth cup of wine. And Votesi Vitzati Vigati Velakachti, the four Lashonos of Gula. There's Vevesi. What about the four sons? That's the cheat. That's the one he cheats. You know the word. It's such a beautiful. He said, says Lubavitcher Rebbe. You know Rabbi Sacks was very connected to Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's very connected to Lubavitcher Rebbe. Says Rabbi Sacks, the Russia is at least he's at the Seder, right? We have the Chacham, the Russia, the Tamashe, and Dishlo. Rabbi Sacks said, Lubavitcher Rebbe said, there's a fifth son who's not at the Seder at all. The fifth son didn't even make it into the Seder. He's so turned off. He's so far away. He's not even rushed. He's not even connected enough to fight. He's not even connected enough to ask. Nebuch, there's some kids that are so far away that they're not even at the Seder. They're not even the Russia. Not even the regular Russia. So said the Babich Rebbe, we have to worry about the fifth son also. Who's worrying about the fifth son? The Babich Rebbe said, I'm worried about the fifth son. He's worried about the fifth son. He spent his whole life trying to worry about the fifth son. But Allah said, love, when Mashiach comes, even the fifth son's going to be at the Seder. Sacks said, the four fours are really five fives. That's part of the theme Seder night. So it's a contradiction. We're celebrating the Geula that we have. But we're yearning for the fifth five. So Rabosai, I want to thank again each of you for coming. You have no clue. You have no hasaga. How much it means to not just to me as the head of the yeshiva, not just to me as your Rebbe, that you that it was meaningful enough, your experience here was meaningful enough for you to come back and to continue to learn Torah. And I hope and pray that our personal connection and relationship, as you heard from me many, many times, I hope and pray that that relationship lasts forever. I hope and pray. And I hope and pray that this Pesach should be a continuation in your growth experience to learn what it means to be a mamin, what it means to be a Jew who learns Torah, who asks questions but sometimes comes to tekus, who believes but sometimes has questions that can't be answered, who is happy with how much he's grown but always wants to grow more, who believes that sometimes life has times of avdus, but we could always daven towards times of chairus, and who could celebrate the redemption but looks forward to that day when all of Klal Yisrael will celebrate the complete redemption. B'nisan nigalu avosenu. B'nisan asidim ligal. Nisan is the month of ischadshus. It's the month of rededicating, rejuvenating. Bein hazmanim can sometimes be difficult. Bein hazmanim, we don't have the usual structure. So our yeshiva tried to do a little bit to help with the structure of learning. Kibud avim, times for helping out our parents. So again, thank you so much for coming. Everyone should have a chakash of sameach, and you should have a yontif, which is filled with joy. Simcha, we should be zochet to see B.S. Gold Tzedek from here. Amen. Thank you very much.